Today, we're going to be talking about one of the most important verbal tools and something that I've really kind of become synonymous with in the pickup and dating universe, and that's the idea of sexual framing. This audio is intended to be a complete guide to sexual framing for you. So I want to answer any questions you have about it. I want to give you my sexual frames that I personally set. There's quite a few of them. I want to teach you about the ways to deliver sexual frames, the multiple devices, as we call it, that you use to set them. And I want to give you a lot of word-for-word examples of what I do and how I set these sexual frames. So with no further ado, let's get right into it by talking about what sexual frames are. Sexual frames are frames which imply sex. Frames are the underlying meaning of the conversation. If you think about the photo in a picture frame analogy, the picture is what you see, but the frame decides how it's cropped and how you see it. You know, so the frame really determines what the focus of the conversation is on, what the kind of underlying meanings are happening, and where things are going on a subcommunicative basis. These are the currents of communication that run just underneath the surface, just underneath where we really notice it. And because they're kind of subtle, you know, these things are very powerful. When you set the right sequence of frames sexually, it takes away all objections a woman would have to sleeping with you, because you're putting the focus of the interaction on all the things that lead to her wanting to sleep with you. So that's kind of what's going on with the idea of sexual framing. We're using our words, our stories, our everything to put the focus on the idea that her and I are going to have sex as quickly as possible, and focusing on all the things that make that possible and make that happen, while cropping out all the stuff that would get in the way. So sexual frames really bridge the gap between you and the girl having sex. They focus everything on the reasons why you should have sex and the reasons why you're going to have sex and why you're going to end up together, as opposed to anything else, while not being overtly sexual. Sexual frames are not the same as telling a girl you want to fuck her. Sexual frames are not the same as, you know, putting a girl's hand on your crotch. These are very subtle things we do that set underlying meanings in the interaction so that everything going forward takes on a new and different meaning. So without further ado, let's start to talk about when this stuff happens. So there's a short answer and there's a long answer to when you should begin sexual framing. The short answer is after you have attraction, during the qualification and comfort parts of a pickup. So you've met the girl, you've gotten her attention, you've gotten her committed to the conversation, you've gotten her attracted. Now you want to start sexual frame. Now, that's the short answer. If you want to just be safe and you want to learn this stuff in an easy fashion, that's all you really need to worry about, is getting some attraction. Then you're going to be able to move forward with that and start framing her sexually, start framing yourself sexually, start framing the interaction sexually, et cetera, et cetera. Now, the longer answer is when you think it won't creep her out. Ideally, we'd like to start sexually framing right away. If I could start talking to a girl and instantly start framing her and start telling her she's independent or aggressive or XYZ, I'd like to do that. You know, the sooner I can get into this stuff, the quicker I'm going to get her into bed, the quicker I'm going to have my choice of how this is going to go, the better. But the problem is, while the sexual framing stuff is subtle, it's not that subtle. You know, you still can creep girls out if you try to go sexual in any way, which there's always an undercurrent of sexuality in sexual framing. That's why it's sexual framing instead of just regular framing. It can creep girls out if you do it too early. So you definitely don't want to jump on it before she's attracted when you're learning this stuff. You know, if you're just kind of getting into this, you really want to look for signs of attraction first, that she's laughing, touching you, staying in the conversation even though she doesn't have to, asking you questions, stuff like that before you do this. If you're a little more intermediate Maybe you're a guy who, you know, gets dates, but maybe doesn't get laid consistently. Then you may want to try to speed it up a little bit. You know, maybe you want to start to try it, you know, maybe 5 minutes in or something like that. And if you're a little more advanced, you want to just see if you can use it as early as possible. Just really start to become vigilant about when you can use this stuff and how to use it, you know, because honestly, ultimately, you're going to learn how and when to use sexual framing in the real world. It's going to be learned through the school of hard knocks, you know, because you're going to go out there and you're going to do it wrong and it's going to wreck interactions and you're going to do it too late and you're going to end up getting laid later than you should have. You know, that was one of my problems, was I wouldn't do this stuff until I was like really deep in comfort, and then the girl would jump on me, but it would be like I wasted all this time. You know, you probably have interactions right now where if you knew how to use sexual framing better and you did it, you'd be having sex rather than just talking. So you're going to have to really implement it in the real world and do what I call ranging. And ranging is simply the act of trying different tactics or techniques, in this case sexual framing, in different parts of the interaction. So I might try it right after the opener, like, okay, that didn't work too great. Maybe I'll try it after one thing after the opener. Or I'll try it after asking a question, or I'll try it after giving a girl a compliment, or I'll try it after XYZ. Again, basically just to find where that tactic and technique fits in best for you. Because pickup and dating is a very individualistic thing. I can give you tactics and techniques, but I can't tell you what's going to work specifically for you listening, because you're going to have to try some stuff. You're going to have to try some things that aren't going to work, then you'll find some things that do work, you know, and you'll find that some things work better for you, some styles work better for you, etc. So it really is up to you to figure out what works for you. I can give you what works for me and for the guys I've taught and for the majority of people. You know, most of my stuff works for everybody, but, you know, everyone's going to have a little bit of a different style or twist. There's going to be parts of my stuff that work better for you and parts of my stuff that work better for other people. So you're going to just have to test it out. That's the real secret to learning when sexual framing begins and when to do it so that you have a lot of success with it. All right, so one of the things to understand about sexual frames is that they're going to be applied to three separate parts of the interaction. Sexual frames are going to be applied to you. You're going to frame yourself in ways that make it seem like you're the type of person that she can sleep with without being judged, without worrying about it, without thinking it's going to get weird, et cetera, et cetera. So you're going to be doing some things to frame yourself, things that are going to make you look like the type of guy she should sleep with in a short time frame. Other things we do are going to be about her. These are going to be characteristics we want to compliment, cold read, and qualify her on that make it so that the two of us sleeping together only makes sense, right? So those things are going to be things like her being, you know, independent, her being adventurous, her being XYZ. Whatever the cold reads applied to her are, obviously, fit the her part of the model. And we want to frame her in a way that it makes sense that she would go for it with us now, right? We want to frame her and bring parts of her personality to the surface, not necessarily that aren't there. It's not rocket science. We're not going to be able to create parts of her personality. If, you know, you're dating a girl and you don't like something she does, you're not going to be able to frame it away. But you can bring parts of her personality that do exist and that are there to the surface and kind of bring them to the focus of attention in the interaction so that things go in a sexual nature. You bring the sexual parts of her personality out. And we're also going to frame things about us, characteristics that the two of us have in common that makes us sexually compatible, that makes us compatible in other ways, that makes it so that it only makes sense that the two of us should get together and have sex. And that's really what the you, her, us model is about. So there's things you're framing yourself about, things you're framing her about, and things you're framing about the two of us, about me and her, you and her, however you want to think about that. So as I go through the rest of this audio and I introduce various sexual frames, I think I'm going to give you 13 or 14 different sexual frames. I want you to be thinking, okay, that's one that applies to me. That's one that applies to her, and that's one that applies to us, right? So think about that, because that'll help you to implement this. I know when I'm out on a date or I'm, you know, meeting a girl and things are going well, I start to think, okay, I want to start by framing myself, right? I want to frame myself as a guy who is non-judgmental, who seems like it's not going to get weird with, all these things. I want to do that stuff first because that's the easiest. You can always control stuff about you easier than stuff about her or stuff about us because you need agreement from her on the things about her. But don't worry, girls agree to stuff this stuff like 95% of the time. It's very, very rare that I get girls that argue with me on sexual frames. It almost never happens. Then we want to start focusing on her. We want to start throwing in things about her as soon as we can, really, as soon as we know she'll accept them. So sometimes, you know, you have to build up to them. Other ones you can start off with pretty early on. And remember, these are things we want to phrase in a positive female stereotype. We want to give her compliments and qualify her on the way she is and the way the frames make her out to be. And then once we have both her and us framed, we can do the ones that frame the two of us. And that also underscores the idea that there is some sort of relationship happening here, whether it's a one-night relationship or, you know, a long-term thing is to be decided, but it gives you an idea that there's an us. By saying there's an us, that we are like this, creates a really strong connection and makes things move much faster. All right, so before I get into the actual word-for-word frames that I'm going to be sharing with you in this audio, I want to talk about how we can use these framing devices to actually set the sexual frames in a way that is very subtle, is very powerful, and is very easy to use in a normal getting to know you conversation. So the four devices we're going to use for framing her, us, and ourselves are stories, cold reading, bait hook real release qualification, and double binds. So we're going to go through each of these in much, much, much more detail to give you an idea of how we use that. But these are the kind of formats or delivery agents, if you will, of our sexual frames. You know, we have some frames we need to set, and I'm going to talk to you about how I do them, and I'm actually going to give you the examples of the devices I use in order to set those frames. But first, I want to just explain the four devices as a way of setting frames, because when you understand how to set frames with a story or a cold read or a qualification cycle or a double bind, then you have a lot more options to your game. You don't only just have the word-for-word examples that I'm going to give you today, which I'm going to give you a ton of, and you can literally take out after you listen to this audio and start, you know, having amazing success with women. But I also want to teach you the underlying mechanism that makes these devices work, that is the reason that we are able to set all these frames and have this amazing level of success. So let's first talk about storytelling in order to set sexual frames. So when it comes to storytelling for sexual framing, there's two types of stories we're going to tell. And these types of stories are very important because they allow us a baseline to throw a lot of different sexual frames in there. Storytelling is great because as you generally get to know each other, there's going to be stories that you tell over and over again. And learning how to put sexual frames into these getting to know you stories is going to make your overall game so strong. Because in addition to checking off all the checkboxes and the getting to know you things that girls need to hear in order to feel comfortable, you're also going to be able to set sexual frames. So the two types of stories we're going to focus on for sexual framing are, number one, what I like to call grounding stories. And these stories set the frames about you and give the girl background information on how you're going to act later on. So, for example, I grew up with sisters, so I'll tell a grounding story about how growing up with sisters and a single mother, I learned a lot about women. Now, this is true. This is something I'm going to need to talk about anyway, but it also gives me a way of starting to set sexual frames. I could start to talk about how I understood women a little bit better, and I watched my sisters go on dates early on in my life, and I saw how guys acted, and I saw how girls acted, and now I can start to sexually frame myself as somebody who knows what she wants, who understands her, who understands women sexually, etc., etc. So the grounding stories are great because they give background information about you they explain who you are as a person, but they also give you ground to set sexual frames in a very non-sexual context, right? Like talking about your mom or your sister and then using that to set frames is very disarming. Girls are not expecting that. So it works really, really well. The second type of sexual framing story that I like to use is a metaphor story. And these stories exist to set a frame or teach the girl some lesson related to our frames. So for example, I might tell a story about my friend Katie, who is a rules girl and who thinks that she has to wait 30 days to sleep with any guy. And if she does that, then her relationships are going to work, and how that backfired her on her one time. And the lesson I'm trying to teach there is that you can't wait or make rules about sex or sexuality. And, you know, by indirectly saying that and get that idea into her head and preload her for that for, you know, when I make a move and try to get sexual with her later. So we're generally telling grounding stories that set the frames about you and give the girls background on how you're going to act later, what to expect, where you came from, and also allow for sexualization. Or they're going to be metaphors. And metaphors exist to set a frame or teach the girl some lesson or to preload an idea. The idea of preloading is very powerful, and it comes from basic psychology. And it's basically the idea that if I tell you not to think about a purple minivan, you're going to think about a purple minivan. But not only that, you're going to notice purple minivans the next time you drive by them. Even me talking about this here, the next time you see a purple minivan, you're going to think, oh my God, John mentioned that, because I've preloaded the idea into your mind. And that's what we're doing with these sexual metaphor stories. We're preloading ideas into a girl's head about sex without them really realizing it. That's what we're doing with a lot of sexual framing. That's what we do when we touch on the sexual subjects or topics and then we quickly gloss over it and get to something else. We're just preloading the girls to be anticipating sex until it starts to turn them on, and from there, escalation is easy. So that's what we're doing a lot of the time with the sexual framing. The next thing I want to talk about is cold read framing. So cold reading is the ancient art of truisms and telling people things that are true about everyone, but in doing it in a way that makes it seem like it's very individual and, you know, psychic. Fortune tellers are pretty much all people who practice the art of cold reading. And when it comes to cold reading, what we're going to do is we want to set up the cold read as something that is either a compliment or a standard. And so when we're cold reading, if we compliment the woman, it basically sets the frame by giving her a compliment, validating her based on how we want her to act. So I might say something like, you know, one of the things I've noticed from listening to you for a little bit is that you're a really self-motivated person. Like, I bet you that you're the type of person who, if there's something you want, you go after it no matter what. Like, I bet you when you were in high school, there was some boy or, you know, cheerleading spot or dance queen position that you wanted, and you just went after it. And I really think that's attractive, even though I think, you know, you're kind of a weirdo. So what we want to do with a cold read compliment is we want to give the compliment, then we want to give a statement of interest, you know, saying something like, I find that really attractive, I think that's sexy, that's hot, I like you because of that. Just something that lets the girl know that we are interested in her, but, you know, doesn't do so in an overly desperate or emotional way. And we want a release. And the release is just a non sequitur tease. Too bad you're such a dork. You're still kind of a weirdo. And the idea behind that is we basically use the cold read as the validating part. But if we just validate her without building that statement of intent in, then we don't really gain any ground. We want to gain ground by letting the girl hit on it, by having the girl let us hit on her. Right? The more she allows us to signal interest, the more she lets us escalate, the farther we can go. And then we want to release just so we don't become the overly desperate guy. You know, the non sequitur tease is there just so that you don't become the guy who's just too aggressive and too much. The other part of this is what I like to call standards cold reading, which basically implies a relationship and gives the girl a reward for framing herself. So an example of standards framing would be me saying something like, you're not the dramatic type of girl, right? And her saying, no, I'm not. But the only reason I would ask that question is if I were kind of looking to see if she lives up to my standards or, you know, my relationship qualities. So there's a lot of subtext in asking a girl if she's the dramatic type, because it kind of gives her an idea of what's going on. The next way to qualify is through what I call the bait, hook, reel, release, rapport model. And this is my basic mechanism for qualification. It gives us a great way to reward girls for accepting our frames, and we have a way to scale our qualification by using small, medium, and large hoops. So let me just give a 2-minute basic rundown of bait, hook, reel, release qualification for people who haven't heard it before. So the first thing we're doing in BHRRR, BHR3, is we're going to bait. And here we're going to ask a question or make a statement that's a bait to get the woman to give us something about herself, some piece of information, something about her that's cool that we can then hit on her for before we kind of release, which we just talked about in the qualification, in the cold read statement of intent release bits on framing as well. So releases are always just non sequitur teases, and rapport, which is my big contribution to this whole model that Mystery came up with, is the idea that we're then going to ask a question. We're then going to show some interest. Because if you just go bait, hook, reel, release, which is what Mystery teaches, then it kind of feels like a job interview, and it kind of feels like you don't really care. But if you delve into each subject and you build some rapport, then you're really making the girl feel like not only are you interested in her for things that are non-physical, but that you're also genuinely interested, and you can develop, you know, genuine chemistry. So again, we're going to first bait. And we can bait with questions or statements. You know, I might say, what do you do for fun when you're not hanging out at this bar? That's a bait. Or I might say, you know, you strike me as the type of girl who loves to shop. Either way, I'm just trying to get her to give me information. It hooks when she gives me information. So bait is a question or a statement designed to get her to give me something that I can hit on her about. The hook is when she answers and she gives us something. Now, the reel is where we're going to hit on her. This is where we're going to give her a compliment. This is where we're going to tell her the reason that we like that. So going back to my what do you do when you're not here example, let's say the girl says, well, I'm really into hiking and I'm really into organic holistic living. I'll go, great, that's awesome. I'm really into trying to be healthy too, and I feel like holistic stuff is really good and really powerful, and I love that you're into that because I'm totally like obsessed with organic food and whole foods as well. The reel is going to be different and specific every time. You're not going to really have the same reel because you're going to want to make it specific to you and specific to why you like that quality. That's a kind of secret that you can star for getting bait, hook, reel, release, rapport to work really well for you, is you got to customize the reel. You got to customize why you like it and come up with a compliment. What you don't want to do, and what a lot of guys do and what a lot of guys teach, is just go, oh, that's cool. Oh, that's cool. That doesn't work. That doesn't make the girl feel like you actually care about what she's saying. Then we release. And the release, again, just a non sequitur tease. Too bad you're such a dork. You suck. I hate you. And then rapport, we're going to ask a follow-up question. So I'll be like, so where's your favorite place to hike? Or what's your favorite totally holistic meal? Something that just zeroes in on what she already said to kind of take the conversation deeper, allow me to give her more compliments, allow me to show that there's some sort of connection between the two of us, and that I am interested in the same thing she's interested in. So we just take things to a little bit of a deeper level. You'll see how we can use this to set sexual frames in a little bit. And lastly, we have double binds. And double binds are questions or statements which result in the person accepting a frame no matter how they answer. So for example, I might say, are you just like a typical LA party girl? And the girl will say, she says yes. I go, cool, I like girls that party. Now I framed her as someone who parties and who is fun. She says no. I'll go, cool, I hate girls like that. You know, I totally like girls who are more independent and don't worry about what other people think. Either way, I'm getting her to accept a frame through verbal trickery. That is a little bit of applied neurolinguistics programming. If you ever are on the internet and you see stuff for NLP or neurolinguistic programming, that's basically the best thing there, is little verbal slips and things like that that can make people fall into your frames. Double binds are great because either way the girl answers, she falls into a frame. All right, so there are 14 sexual frames that I want to share with you word for word to really give you a lot of ammunition, a lot of powerful stuff that you can take out and use in the real world tonight, tomorrow, whenever, to get amazing results. So I'm going to share with you now for the first time ever outside of very expensive one-on-one coaching, the 14 sexual frames. And the 14 sexual frames start with the idea that she is adventurous. So again, back to that whole idea of her and framing her as things. So we want to frame her, the first thing we want to frame her as is adventurous. And we're going to use this as a small qualification hoop in the bait hook real release report model early on. You can do this in the first 3 to 4 minutes. And it's very simple. I'll go, are you adventurous? Or you seem adventurous if I don't want to ask a question. She hooks, she says, yeah, I'm adventurous. Now I reel her in. I'll go, that's great. I love adventurous people because I'm always looking to do new things and fun kind of out there things like rock climbing or skydiving. So I really like people who have the same kind of ideas. Release, too bad you're such a dork. Rapport, what's the most adventurous thing you've done in the last month? Now, one of the things that's interesting about human beings and about psychology is something called the law of reciprocity. So sometimes I'll say, what's the most adventurous thing you've done in the last month? And the girl will go, I don't know. But if I go, the most adventurous thing I've done in the last month was rock climbing. And I tell a story about adventurous rock climbing. And then I ask what the most adventurous thing she's ever done is, 99% of the girls are going to answer that because of this reciprocity. Because when you do something first, people are more likely to reciprocate. If I want someone to do something for me, I want to do something for them first so that they feel the need to reciprocate. If I'm trying to get a girl to answer a question, I want to answer that question first myself. So when I say bait hook reel release rapport, a lot of the time my rapport is first I'll answer the question I want her to answer. So if I'm saying, what's the most adventurous thing you've ever done or done in the last month? Then I'm going to answer that question first in my reel. Okay, that's great. I love adventurous people because I'm totally like that too. Like just last week, I went skydiving. You know, what's the most adventurous thing you've done in the last week? Now she's going to answer that almost 100% of the time simply because of this theory of reciprocity, the law of reciprocity, which says if people do something for us or give us information, we're more likely to give them information. That's also on a tangent, the reason why just asking questions in a pickup doesn't work so well because you're not reciprocating, you're not giving the girl information as well. And after a while, people get sick of that and they don't want to give you any more information. So that was adventurous. Next, we have spontaneous. Again, we're framing her as spontaneous. We want to use this as your second frame after framing her as adventurous. So adventurous and spontaneous go together. You can actually do these back to back. So I'll go, are you adventurous? You are? Great. Awesome. I like people who are adventurous because XYZ. The most adventurous thing I've done in the last month is this. What's the most adventurous thing you've done? Great. But are you spontaneous? Yes. Awesome. I love people who are spontaneous because, and again, here I'll just describe why I like spontaneous people because I don't like to plan. I like to fly more by the seat of my pants and, you know, figure things out as we go along. Release. Oh my God, you suck. The most spontaneous thing I did was last week I blew off work to go to the beach. What's the most spontaneous thing you've done in the last week? Again, very simple stuff here. Very easy. These are things you can use in any conversation. There's almost no reason to not try to frame girls as adventurous and spontaneous because in a cold approach pickup, her being adventurous and spontaneous is going to be to your benefit. All right. Framing her as independent. This is a good third or fourth qualifier to use as it's very low risk. So here we're going to use a cold read, a statement of intent, and a release. So I might say, you know, and here I like to find and pick things out that she actually did. I find that that works a lot better because it provides at least some context. It also makes it seem like you're listening. So I'll say, because you said you moved to LA from Nebraska all by yourself, I can tell you're really independent. I love independent girls. Girls who have their own lives and don't want to make me the center of their world. That's the cold read, right? I can tell you're independent. I love independent girls who have their own lives and don't want to make me the center of their world. Now it's time for a statement of intent. So I might say, and I mean that even though I'm totally hitting on you. And then I'll release. I'll go, you are trouble. You are bad. You are bad news. So altogether, it'll sound something like this. I'll go, you know, because you said you moved here from Nebraska, I can tell you're really independent. I love independent girls who have their own lives and don't want to make me the center of their world. And I mean that even though I'm totally hitting on you. You are trouble. Right? Altogether, very smooth. And then you go back to talking to normal stuff. You don't have to do this stuff back to back to back to back. You know, you're not going to do adventurous, spontaneous, independent in 30 seconds. You're going to have interspersed in between just fluff talk. Talk about where you grew up, going to school, getting to know you stuff. The sexual frames are a sprinkled on thing. They don't form the meat of your conversation. The next thing we want to frame her as is sexually aggressive. And here it's important to remember that it's sexually aggressive with someone she's attracted to. You don't want to just frame her as sexually aggressive to anyone. You want to remember to add that with someone she's attracted to qualifier, which softens it quite a bit and makes it much, much more palatable to most girls. So what I want to do to set this frame is I want to use the Strawberry Fields test. And I want to use a very specific version of the Strawberry Fields test that my friend Jason came up with. So the thing to remember about this version of the Strawberry Fields test is that it's the Strawberry Fields test to get laid, not the Strawberry Fields test to analyze her personality. So we're going to say the same thing every single time, no matter what she's actually giving as answers. So I'll say, you know what? I'm not sure about you yet. I got to give you the cool girl test. Imagine you're in a strawberry field. Now, there's a fence. How high is the fence? Question number one for the Strawberry Fields test is how high is the fence? And she'll say 4 feet, 8 feet, whatever. Say, all right, you climb the fence. Now you're in a strawberry field. How many strawberries would you eat? And she'll say one, a bite, 20, 50, whatever. Doesn't matter. No matter how many strawberries she says, I'm going to shake my head and go, oh my God, you are trouble. I could never take you home to mom. You would have me like chained to a bed needing Gatorade. And no matter what she says, we're going to ask the third question in the same way. We're going to say, what about the farmer? Not where is the farmer or how do you feel about the farmer? What about the farmer? The reason for this is pretty simple. We want to make our interpretation very clear. So the interpretation goes like this. No matter what she says, her fence equals her goals and aspirations. She sets the bar high, but not high enough that she can't reach it. The strawberries are how much you like to have sex. Whatever she said means she has a very high sex drive. Again, she'd have me chained to a bed needing Gatorade. And the farmer is society's rules and restrictions about sex and sexual relationships. So the reason we say what about the farmer is we're trying to prompt a response of what the fuck the farmer, or I'd pay him, or I don't care about the farmer. That way we can say that it's society's rules and restrictions about sex and sexual relationships, and she said, fuck the farmer, or I don't care about the farmer, or whatever, which means she doesn't care about society's rules about sex and sexual relationships. So, again, how high is the fence? How many strawberries would you eat? What about the farmer? Fences, goals, and aspirations. You set the bar high, but not high enough that you can't achieve your goals. Strawberries are how much you like to have sex. Whatever she said, a bite, a nibble. You know, zero strawberries means she has a high sex drive. She'd have me chained to the bed needing Gatorade. And the farmer is society's rules and restrictions about sex and sexual relationships. And she said, fuck the farmer. So I got to be careful with you, you know, if it gets dark. Good at keeping secrets. This is another really powerful sexual frame that you should use. And this is basically a story, a metaphor story about how I don't kiss and tell. I don't kiss and tell is the lesson I'm trying to preload into the girl. So I'll say something like, you know, have you ever been in like a weird dramatic situation? So I was at this party last night and there was this girl there that I got drunk and made out with one time like 3 months ago, and it's totally not a big deal. Her name's Caitlin. And for some reason, she was telling everybody that we like hooked up and that it was like recent and that we had sex. And I got so mad. Like, the thing about me is I do not kiss and tell. So for me, like, whatever happens between two people should be nobody else's business. It was like really annoying to me that she was telling people this, especially since it didn't even happen. So again, the gist here is you basically were at a party where some girl was telling people that she hooked up with you. Now, this is a really good story because the underlying meanings all say good things about you, right? Like, why was she talking to people about you sexually unless you like blew her mind? And why was she claiming to have had sex with you when you said it wasn't true and that, you know, nothing ever happened? And it also frames the idea that you're good at keeping secrets, right? We want to frame both of us as good at keeping secrets. That way, if something happens, you know, she knows that she's not going to get her reputation ruined, which is a real concern for girls. Okay, physical or emotional types. You want to frame girls into different types, either physical or emotional, so that you can kind of elicit their seduction strategy, figure out how they like to be seduced, so you know how to proceed. So this is a cold read, and you know, sometimes I'll ask, and sometimes I'll just throw this out there. So with physical types, I'll say, you know, you're totally a physical type. I can tell just from the fact that you work out a lot, or you're a dancer, or the way you walk with so much grace. So when you're with someone, you probably need to feel chemistry with that person you're with. And that's how you know you're attracted to this person in front of you. and you probably find an emotional connection comes after you feel a physical chemistry. Again, physical types, I'll go, so when you're with someone, you probably need to feel chemistry with that person you're with, and that's how you know you're attracted to this person with you. And you probably find an emotional connection comes after you feel a physical chemistry with the person in front of you. Now, with emotional types, I'll go, you know, I can tell you're like a girl who lives in her emotions. So when you're with someone, you probably need to feel a deep connection with that person you're with, and that's how you know you're attracted to this person in front of you. In fact, you need to feel really comfortable with this person to let go and enjoy the connection. You're like a really emotional person. You're like a sea of emotions, someone who really feels her emotions deeply. So when you're with someone, you probably need to feel a deep connection with that person you're with, and that's how you know you're attracted to this person in front of you. In fact, you need to feel really comfortable with this person to let go and enjoy the connection. Again, physical types, you're really physical. You know, you're someone who lives in her body sensations, and, you know, you probably were an athlete in high school or college. And so when you're with someone, you probably need to feel chemistry with that person you're with, and that's how you know you're attracted to this person. And you probably find an emotional connection comes after you feel a physical chemistry. All right, so that's a great cold read to use. Figure it out. You can generally kind of guess these things, and girls will let you know. But it's a good way to frame her seduction strategy so you know to either do more emotional connection stuff or more physical connection stuff. Decisive. This is a great one, especially in bars and clubs, because a lot of the time girls need to make decisions, so you want her to think of herself as someone who's decisive. And we want to frame her as decisive using a double bind. The reason we use a double bind is most girls are not decisive. But you can get them to say they are, which we can then kind of use to get them to make decisions about going home with us. So when I bind girls as being decisive, I'll say something like, you know, I'm a really decisive person. When I know I want something or someone, I just go for it. I love decisive people. Are you decisive or do you suck? Right? By giving her one obviously loaded choice, we're basically making her say she's decisive, which then down the road we can use to, if she's like, oh, I don't know, I gotta talk to my friends, you go, you're decisive, come on, make a decision. And that can kind of be used as leverage later on to move things forward. Goes for what you want. So this frame is both me and her. And we're going to use, again, a cold read statement and release. So I might say, you know, you totally seem like the type of girl who goes after what she wants and always gets it. I love people that are ambitious like that. And I mean that even though I'm thinking about kissing you, you are trouble. So again, cold read, you totally seem like the type of girl who goes after what she wants and always gets it. I love people that are ambitious like that. Statement of intent, and I mean that even though I'm thinking about kissing you. Release, you are trouble. Back to talking about anything else. Doesn't get cock blocked. This is a really good one for bars and clubs. And here I just like to tell a story. Again, another metaphor story. I'll go, you know, you totally remind me of my friend Sarah, who always, you know, goes out and wants to meet boys, but she's like the baby of the group, and she always gets cock blocked by someone, or, you know, another girl takes her guy, and she never gets to do anything fun because her friends always get in the way. You know, I always feel really bad for her, but, you know, you're really nice like her. Like, you remind me of her. That's a really good one because we're telling a story about how my friend Sarah always gets cock blocked, and she's always like the baby of the group. And she never gets to do anything fun because her friends always get in the way, which, again, preloads that idea in her mind, like, oh, I'm not like that, you know, like, oh, I'm going to be different, you know, I'm gonna break that negative kind of stereotype about myself. It won't get weird. You got to frame yourself as someone who can have sex with her and have it not get weird. So, again, here's another chance to tell a metaphor story. So I'll go, oh my God, my friend Cindy is like Samantha from Sex and the City. She's like one of my favorite people because she's super promiscuous and she always has the best stories. Like, she called me on a Tuesday and she was like, yeah, I had to kick this guy out of my apartment this morning. And I was like, oh, really? Why? And she's like, yeah, I brought him home from the bar last night and everything seemed cool. And then after we had sex, he rolled over and was like, it's so good to finally have a girlfriend. And I was like, it's so good that you have to leave. But it's weird how, you know, people take sex so seriously. Like, some people get so weird when sex gets involved with things, and it's kind of strange to me, you know? Like, I don't think sex is that big of a deal, you know? It's just kind of like gymnastics, so it's strange when people get that weird or needy over it. Again, the metaphor is that it's not going to get weird with me. You can have sex with me, and I'm not going to try to be your boyfriend right away. Non-judgmental. This is something we want to frame both of us as. So again, I'll use a cold read, a statement of intent, and a release. I'll go, you know, I can tell you're really non-judgmental. And that's a really big requirement to be my friend because I don't judge. statement of intent, and I mean that even though I'm trying to get in your pants. Released. You must have driven your last boyfriend crazy. Again, non sequitur. Doesn't have to make sense. Teasing is emotional communication, so it doesn't need to make sense. All right, so one more time. I can tell you're really non-judgmental. That's a really big requirement to be my friend because I really don't judge. And I only hang out with people who don't judge also. And I mean that even though I'm trying to get in your pants. You must have driven your last boyfriend crazy. Doesn't care about what people think. This is something to frame her as. Again, we're going to go back to our bait hook real release rapport. I go, you know, are you the type of person who really cares a lot about what people think? It hooks when she says no. Real, we're going to go, that's super important to me. I don't have time for worrying about what other people think about how I live my life. I'm glad you're the same way. Release, we will never get along. Rapport, have you ever done something you thought was going to blow up and then realized no one cared? So again, baiting, I'll go, are you the type of person who really cares a lot about what people think? Or alternatively, I go, you know, what's cool about you is you seem like you're not the type of girl who cares what people think. Hook is she agrees that she doesn't care or she says she doesn't care. Real, that's super important to me. I don't have time for worrying about what other people think about how I live my life. I'm glad you're the same way. I love people who are like that. Release. We will never get along. Rapport. Have you ever done something you thought was going to blow up, but no one cared? And again, remember, you can say, like, I did something last week that I thought was going to go real bad, but then no one cared in the same way. Trust herself. This is something we have to frame her as. And again, we're going to use a cold read, statement of intent, release. Go. You know, because you're so independent, here's where cold reads build upon each other. If I cold read her as independent, I frame her as independent, I can come back to that now. Because you're so independent, I bet you're the kind of person who really trusts herself. Like, I bet once you make a decision, you don't worry about it ever again. I love that. Statement of intent. And I mean that even though I think you're incredibly sexy and I want to do horribly bad things to you. Release. Too bad you're so gross. So one more time. Because you're so independent, I bet you're the kind of person who really trusts herself. Like, I bet once you make a decision, you don't worry about it anymore. That kind of confidence is really sexy. And I mean that even though I want to do horribly dirty things to you. Too bad you're so gross. Has a good sense for people. And again, we're framing her as having a good sense for people, almost like a psychic credit in the cold reading vernacular. We're giving her credit for being good at recognizing good people, which helps us. We're going to use a bait hook real release rapport. So I'll say, are you an intuitive person? She'll go, yeah. I'll go, that's important. I could tell you have a good sense for people. You probably are able to figure out what people are about pretty quickly. I like that because I feel like I'm the same way. I feel like I almost have like a sixth sense for when someone is like a good person and when they're kind of shady. You are such a pain in the ass. Release. And rapport. Have you ever met someone and known you were going to know them forever? So again, bait. Are you an intuitive person? Yes. That's so important. I could tell you have a good sense for people. You're probably able to figure out what people are about pretty quickly. I like that because I'm the same way. I feel like I have a sixth sense for people and I feel like it's something that people can develop. And the fact that you have that too is really cool. Too bad you're such a pain in the ass. Have you ever met someone before and known you were going to know them forever? I feel that way about my friend Dave. Tell a story about Dave. Makes good decisions. Again, we're framing her as, you know, you're a really smart girl. I can tell you make good decisions and don't get yourself into all sorts of trouble like other girls in San Diego. And I mean that even though I want to do horribly dirty things to you. Get away from me. You're a really smart girl. I can tell that you make really good decisions and don't get yourself into all sorts of other trouble like these other girls. And I mean that even though I'm super attracted to you. Get away from me. All right, let's recap what we've gone through in this audio today in Get Laid More University. We learned what sexual frames are. There are frames that set the underlying meaning of the interaction that me and her are going to get together and get sexual as quickly as possible. We learned when to use them. Short answer, after you have some attraction. We learned the you, her, us model and the four devices for framing. Cold reads, storytelling, double binds, and qualification. And we went through word-for-word descriptions of exactly how to set each of the 14 sexual frames. Now I have an exercise for you. What I want you to do is I want you to pick three sexual frames and write out three situations where you want to meet women. Now write out how you would set those sexual frames as quickly as possible and what you would have to do first. When you're done with the first three, if you want extra credit, you can repeat for every other sexual frame, all 14. This exercise will really help you to understand how and when to use this stuff and give you the drills to get the skills to get the girls. So that's going to wrap up this edition of Get Laid More University. I know I gave you a lot of information. You may need to listen to this three or four times to get all the nuances in the delivery and to get all of the word-for-word sexual frames that I broke down for you. Don't be afraid to do that. You know, if you want, try to write out each one of these frames in your own words and really practice them before you try to use them, because that's going to give you the best results when you do get out there and use that stuff. That's going to do it for me today. I will be back with another awesome audio for you next month, and we still have the video and the newsletter for this month. So you've still got a lot more content coming at you from me and Get Laid More University. Talk to you soon.